Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, where we left off last time. We'll be picking up in verse 12. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1. Then we'll make our way to John 21 and 1 Matthew 14. I heard the last time I taught, I said 1 James a couple times. I want to apologize. I do know the books of my Bible. I'm so focused on 2 Peter, I guess I called it 1 James several times. And I appreciate the brothers in the body that reminded me of that. Love you all. Again, 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll pick up in verse 12. If you want to mark your Bibles, John 21, Matthew 14. I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit out of the ordinary this morning. I want to read the scriptures before we start the study, and I would like to ask everyone to stand as we read. Would you guys do that for me? 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 12. For this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And we stand in a sense to honor your word and to honor you. Lord, I would believe, just as Moses before the burning bush, we believe, God, we stand on holy ground before you, because we know you are here. So God, we stand with anticipation as we read your word. And as we've already been ministered to by this word, we pray now that you would expound upon these scriptures, minister to our hearts and to our lives, that we would leave this place eternally changed. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. I want you to think about this. Do you remember where you were, what you were doing 6 months ago from this day? You know, I mean, most of us probably not. Maybe some of us do. But I ask you also consider this. Do you remember where you were on September 11th, 2001? You see, there's a big difference between just remembering time ago or remembering events some time ago. There's something that happens in our brains, there's something that happens in our hearts that these important events are markers, are reminders, are these things that we remember that we may hold dear. Maybe it's a hurtful memory. 1 year ago today, I was in a hospital and you were all praying for me. In a few hours, I would open my eyes to the glory of God. And we can remember that event, and we can remember all the pain it cost, all the heartbreak, all the suffering, all the tears. But I would encourage us all to remember all the prayers that were prayed, all the words of God that were confirmed in people's hearts. I've heard testimony after testimony over this year, people saying, "I knew in my heart that you were not going to die, that you were not going to die." And that so encouraged me, and so encouraged me that they were encouraged by God that this was not going to happen. So there are events in our lives that we remember. There's times in our lives we forget, probably could for good reason. I don't know about you, but sometimes I question my mind. I'm like, why don't I remember certain things? My younger brother always used to get mad at me because I left Rochester, New York, which is where I was born, when I was about 23, 24 years old. And as I would visit back there or talk to my brother over the years being gone so long, I would forget the name of streets. I would forget the restaurants and the things that I used to be just so commonplace. And he used to get so upset. How can you forget? It's like, I'm just not there. I'm not involved in it. It's not like I forget on purpose. There's something about the human mind that we need to remember. Now, some of you in this room can probably remember certain movies. Certain scenes, certain, you know, lines in movies, and you can recite them and you can remember because you've got it memorized. Other of us, man, what was that movie I saw last week? I don't remember. It didn't have that impact. And so my encouragement to us this morning is when we remember things that are dear to us, it's because it's made an impact on our lives. When I reminded my father that it was a year ago yesterday when I was on the phone with him, he goes, oh, I don't want to remember that. And here's the thing about tough events or tough memories is if we focus on the wrong thing. See, if we focus on the pain, if we focus on the suffering, if we focus upon the hurt that happened during an event in our past, then yes, we will be sad. But if we would focus on what God did through that event, I think we can certainly see a different perspective. See, I was encouraged in what God showed to us and the effects that happened in our ministry, in our church, what happened to me. Because I believe it drew people to the Lord. There were people in this fellowship who said prior to that event, they felt distant from God. After that event, they felt drawn to God and they felt close to God. That blessed my heart. And I stand before God and before you and I say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, with your life, as long as it brings you glory, as long as it draws people closer to you, that's what's important. And though we might be able to remember scenes or lyrics or whatever in songs or scenes in movies, I ask you, do you know the Word of God? Do you remember the Scriptures? Do you hide the Word of God in your heart as easily as you do the lyrics to a song or as easy as a scene in a movie or a joke or a saying? The Word of God. This was Peter's heart. As he's seeing his life coming to an end, this was his heart for the persecuted church. He's like, don't forget the Word of God. And I love this area, verses 12 through 15, is this heart of Peter going, I want you to remember, guys, don't forget. It hasn't changed, my brothers and sisters. It hasn't changed in the life that we live today. It is so important that we remember what God's Word says. We remember the things that God has done and the experiences that we've had in our lives. For it's those times that we look back and we see God's hand. Oh, there's no doubt in your life, in weeks past, months past, years past, if you remember, if you sat down and thought about it, you say, wow, God got me through that. There's several places in my life where I remember going into a situation and going, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And then finding myself on the other side and going, God, look what you've done. Look how you've sustained me, how you've gotten me through that thing that I thought was going to be impossible. And I'm sure that's the same thing for you here this morning. Guys, it's so important that we hold those memories, you know, not just around the holidays that we have these wonderful memories, but memories of the instances in God's economy that he's done and done through us and to us and for us. See, this was Peter's heart. In these final verses of chapter 1, Peter's heart is like, guys, you've got to understand. You've got to remember and you've got to hold these things. There's people in this fellowship, as I look around and I remember things that we've done in our lives together. I have memories of what happened in your life and what happened in your life and the experiences you went through in your past. I remember those things and I remember how God got us through those things. And I would think if you here this morning would look around this fellowship and see familiar faces, you too would be reminded of those things. And Peter's saying, listen, I have this deep desire to remind the readers of this letter to hold on to God, especially through persecution, especially through difficult times. And you may be going through a difficult time in your life, and that's the time where you got to hold on to the Lord. That's where you have to be reminded of the truths that are there. For many that get counseling, either in the church or out of the church, it's retraining the brain not to believe a lie and to believe truth. And so much more in the house of God to believe the truths. As Lou and I were driving in this morning, we were talking, I believe it was this morning, about this. See, I don't remember. It was this morning. It works. We were talking about the younger generation, the things that they're going through, the things that they're experiencing. There's actually a website. What was it, babe? What was the name of it? I want to. Yeah. Yeah. Something, imgoingtodie.com, or I want to die. The heart is, it's a website that people post blogs. Well, I cut today. Well, I thought about killing myself today. And it's this generation that doesn't have any self-worth. They look around them and say, I don't want to live anymore. It's too hard. My parents are too tough. School's too difficult. Peer pressure. Whatever it is, this generation, and we experienced it when we were younger too, but this generation has technology and internet that they can constantly bathe themselves in those negative thoughts. How important it is that they have the Word of God to know that God loves them and cares for them and has a plan and a purpose for their life. And they're of value to God. They're precious in His sight. That changes it, at least for me. It changes it when I know God loves me so much, and He created me, and He created me in His image to be reminded of that. How important it is today that we as Christians remember this. And so as we read this area of Scripture, Peter's certainly writing to the church, but he's also writing to us, isn't he? He's saying, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Three things, if you're going to take notes, and I encourage you guys to take notes. I don't say it enough, but taking notes so much helps you remember what God is speaking to you here so you don't forget. Isn't that interesting? Don't forget. Number one, don't forget to be encouraged, to be encouraging to others. Don't forget to be encouraging to others. The thing I got out of this first four verses, 12, 13, and 14, 12, 13, 14, and 15, is Peter's sitting there going, listen, I've had an amazing experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. God saved my life. God revealed things with me. He did amazing things with me. I asked dumb questions, but He was gracious to me. And once I had the Holy Spirit, now I was not so focused on self, that I was more focused on others. Guys, this is such an important part of the body of Christ, that we're not so selfish and self-centered, but we're others-centered. I don't know about you, but when I care about other people more, I find my cares and my concerns kind of go away because I'm concerned for others. And so Peter here is saying, listen, for this reason, I want to remind you. I want to refresh you. I want you to have this even after I'm gone. So his focus was on others and to remind people. And notice it says in verse 12, for this reason. So when we see this in the Scripture, for this reason, or therefore, it's kind of the same word, for this reason. For what reason? Well, if you back up to verses 10 and 11, we see this. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What is Peter talking about in verses 10 and 11? Entrance into heaven. Being saved. And when we die, we go to heaven. So he's saying, for this reason, because people get to go to heaven, I'm not going to forget to remind you. In verse 12, for this reason, I will not neglect to remind you always of these things. Sometime this coming week, when you get discouraged, when you get depressed, when you start thinking about you're getting to go to heaven, it lightens the load. Do you see what I'm talking about? Do you see what Peter is getting at? It's like he's thinking about going to heaven. He said, for this reason, I'm going to remind you all the time that you're going to heaven. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to heaven. Pastors do that when they need some time to think. You're going to heaven. Do you realize what you're going through right now when you get to heaven won't even be a thought on your mind? Right? What you worried about a year ago, you're not worried about today. You got new worries. When we get to heaven, we don't have to worry about anything. We get to just behold the glory of God and be in awe of his presence. We're going to heaven. Peter says, I will not be negligent in reminding you always. Can I ask us, have we been negligent in this? Have we forgotten this sometimes? Maybe even for ourselves? We've forgotten to remind ourselves, I don't need to be discouraged. I don't need to be down. Maybe you've got bills that need to be paid. Maybe there's not enough money coming in. You're stressed out. I hope this saying encourages you. If money can fix your problems, you don't have problems. Money can't fix a broken heart. Money can't fix discouragement. If money pays your bills, great. You don't have real problems. Problem is heartbreak. Problems are separation from God. Peter says, I'm going to remind you. I'm going to remind you of these things. And in these things, even in these four verses, I see three things also. Number one, it says, I must pour into others while I'm here. See, Peter is saying, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know that you are established in the present truth. I'm not going to forget while I'm still alive that I have an opportunity to remind people. We have an opportunity as Christians. You don't have to be a minister. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an assistant pastor, a deacon, or an elder to remind somebody of the goodness of God. You can do that. Is there a coworker at your workplace that is bummed out and stressed out? Just sit down with them. Talk to them. Encourage them in the Lord. So you must pour into others while we're here. We only have so much time. The Bible says what? It's but a vapor. It's but that quick and our life is over. So while we're here, let's not be negligent to remind others. Let's not be negligent to remind others of the goodness of God. See, there's going to be times in your life when you need to rely on the things that you know are true in words in God's word rather than focusing on the things you don't know. I mean, I hear it all the time, and I understand the position. God's got me here, but I have no idea why. God's moved me here, but I just don't know why. I don't know what I'm doing. We're focusing on what we're not doing instead of doing something. If you don't know what you're doing, I encourage you tomorrow, go do something. Go do something. I don't care what it is. Go do it. It'll get your mind off the things that you're not doing. Don't rely on the things you don't know. Focus on the things that you do know. Not only must I pour into others while I'm here, in verse 13 and 14, he says, I must motivate others before I go. See, Peter's believing his time is coming to an end, so he's going to make sure he motivates others before he goes. He says, yes, verse 13, I think it right, I think it's a good thing, basically, as long as I am in this tent, in this flesh, to stir you up by reminding you. This reminding you can also be to refresh your memory. To refresh your memory. Listen, God has taught you things over your life. I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord, whether it's been a week or 20 years. God has taught you things over that time. And sometimes we just need to refresh our memories about the things that God has done, the things that God has said, and the things that God could potentially do. We have to do this. Before we go, we only have so much time. And he says in verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. How did Jesus Christ show Peter? Well, let's go to our first stop. It's John chapter 21. Keep your place in 2 Peter. We will come right back. We're in John chapter 21. We're going to pick up in verse 18. John 21, verse 18 says, most assuredly, I say to you, this is Jesus, when you were younger, he's speaking to Peter, you girded yourself and walked where you wished, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. So not only did Jesus Christ show Peter how to live the sacrificial life by dying on the cross, Peter saw that, or Peter witnessed that, But he also said, Lord Peter, I want you to follow my footsteps. I want you to follow in the ways that I've lived. And listen, there's a time in your life when you did what you wanted. And he's saying, Peter, there's a time coming that you're going to do what others tell you. And he's speaking about the Holy Spirit. He's speaking about the things that other people will do them in the persecution of the church in those days. Outside of his control. And he's like, Peter, no matter what they do to you, follow me. Follow me. Do what I tell you to do. There's going to be times in our lives where we're going to have to do what Jesus tells us. Despite everything inside of us, knowing that if we compromise just a little, it'll be a lot easier for us. If we speak a lie, it'll make things a lot better. I wonder if we're willing to stand our ground and stand on that truth. Say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you no matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow you. See, Peter was able to say, the Lord Jesus showed me. The Lord Jesus, he told me. And there's probably people in this room that God has spoken to you either through his word or through your time of prayer, and he's spoken a truth to you, and that's his truth. He's shown you what's going to happen in your life, and you're waiting for it to come to pass. But you're believing it with all of your heart. Trust in it, guys. Trust in it, guys. Until the Lord takes us home, we're going to be faithful to believe what he told us is going to come to pass. Being led by God. Being led by God. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. So, as I said, I must pour into others while I'm here. I must motivate others before I go. Back in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 15, he says, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. What's he saying? I'm going to send you text messages. Guys, we're bearing the fruit of what Peter says in this verse. I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my defense. His words are written for us, and we're reading them, and we're being reminded of these things. We're partaking of what Peter is saying here. He made sure that he was going to remind others of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the truths, of heaven, of persecution, of all the things in the Word of God, as Peter's been telling us in the first chapter, or the first book, and now in the second book. He's going to remind us. Do you understand that you have that same opportunity? You have that same opportunity to make sure you always help others remember God. Have you ever talked to a discouraged Christian? Or even a human being, for that matter. But when I talk to a discouraged Christian, immediately, by the power of the Holy Spirit, it's not me, trust me, a scripture will come into my heart. A scripture will come into my mind. Just this past, when did I do this? This past Wednesday, sitting in a coffee shop doing premarital counseling. So if you ever see me in a coffee shop with another couple, I'm counseling. And I'm ministering to this couple. And I asked them, I said, I want to ask you guys a personal question. I said, what is your relationship with God like right now? Do you feel close to God? Do you feel distant from God? Where are you at? And, you know, as all of us probably, well, I could be closer. I imagine we would all probably say that. Because I think we're always getting closer. We're never there. And so the gentleman said, yeah, well, I could be closer. I don't really read the word as much. I don't really, you know, pray as much. I could get closer. And then when I looked to the girl and she said, I just feel really distant from God. I feel really far. I just don't feel like I'm hearing his voice. Things aren't going. I'm so busy. I'm going to school. I'm working. I have kids. I've been divorced. And it's just, you could just see the weight over her shoulders. And immediately, the Lord ministered to my heart, encourage her. Encourage her. She is a child of mine who's feeling defeated, who's feeling the weight of the world. Anybody agree with it? Anybody identify with that? It's too much. School and work and family and this and that. It's like, listen. As I said a little bit earlier, what do you know about God? Focus on that. And I encourage, I said, listen. Right now, you know, you have a relationship with the Lord. You know the Lord. You know about God. You know the things of God. You believe in Jesus. Rest in the fact that God loves you. Rest in the fact that you are just busy and overwhelmed. It's not that God's pulling himself away from you. It's not that. Yes. You know, yes, you want to feel close to God all the time, but sometimes I think God says, I want you to experience my goodness without me doing anything for you. Does that minister to anybody? Does God always have to be doing something in your life or giving you something in your life or some experience happening for you to feel close to God? Or can we just be close to God? If the Bible says he'll never leave me or forsake me, when I feel like crud, when I feel like dirt, I can intelligently say, but I know you're here, God. I feel like throwing up. I'm nervous. I just don't know what's going on in my head, but God, I know you're here with me. It's sometimes we just got to rest in what we know. And Peter's saying, I'm going to make sure I remind you of these things. I'm going to make sure I'm going to leave something here for you. We have an opportunity in our day. Does anybody write paper letters anymore? Does anybody? I know cards go out. I think those are great. But we live in such a time where we can reach so many people for good with technology. Again, if you would look around this room at some people that you know, and maybe God would say, text this person next week. Send an email to this person next week. Not, listen, please, not just when it's a birthday or an anniversary. Those are good things to do, don't get me wrong. But to be led by the Spirit to say, today somebody needs encouragement. I was thinking about you. I was praying for you. But do this favor for me. Make sure you pray for them. We get so Christianese. I prayed for you today, which basically says I just thought about you. You crossed my mind. I didn't really pray for you. Then after you send it, you go, Lord, bless their day. Okay, I did pray for them. Do you do that? Nobody's going to admit it. Nobody's going to admit it. Guys, we only have so much time. And Peter says, I'm going to make sure I leave a legacy. I'm going to make sure I leave a legacy. And that's what he says in verse 15, saying, I'm going to make sure that I leave your money. I must leave a legacy for others when I'm gone. See, we're here now. But there's going to be a time when you're gone, Dad, Mom. Are you leaving a legacy for your kids? Are you leaving a legacy for the people in your life? Are there people in your life that look to you and go, man, they love the Lord. They're so close to God. They're always encouraging. They always give me the truth, whether I like it or not. A legacy that says, I can always come to that person and receive what I need. As a Christian, you should be making such an impact that others will remember you when you are no longer there. When you're no longer there, whether physically or just separate. Think about somebody that doesn't live in this town or even in this state. And are they still making an impact on your life? I have people like that in my life that live in Florida or live in Texas or live in New York, and they're still making an impact on my life. They've left a legacy. They're not here with me physically, and that's what Peter's saying. I want to make sure that you always have a reminder. I ask you this. Are you known more for your prayers or for your complaints? Are you known for your words of encouragement or your words of anger? You're leaving a legacy. How are people going to remember you when you're gone? Are people going to go, man, I loved listening to them sing. Man, I loved listening to them explain to me my finances. Man, I loved it when they would pray with me. Man, remember when so-and-so, remember how they would always help us out? Remember how they were always there for us? Leave a legacy, guys. We only have so much time. And I'm running out of time as it is. Remember these things after I'm gone. And I want to back up one minute to verse 12. Again, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things. Look at this. Though you know and are established in the present truth. Don't miss this. I skipped over this. I apologize. He is writing to a church that knows Jesus Christ, that is established in the truth of God's word at that time, the Old Testament. They were already knew the word. They already knew God. They already had a relationship with God. And so Peter's saying, just because you know God and have a relationship with God doesn't mean I have to ignore you. It means I have to make sure I continue to stir you up, the things you do know. Please don't do the mistake of looking around at people in your life and go, oh, no, they're so close to the Lord, they're good. Let me tell you, I'm learning more and more. People that look good on the outside, usually on the inside, are tore up. And so never overlook someone that you think is doing good. We can put on the good Sunday face, can't we? How are you today? I'm great, thanks. Inside, man, I'm ready to divorce my wife. I'm ready to quit my job. Not speaking to myself. Amen. Amen is right. Amen is right. But this is true. It's amazing what we'll cover up in our lives. And I encourage you, if you're that person that covers it up, please don't. Please stop that. I always say, danger, danger. Danger, danger. When you start covering those things up, and when you try to be somebody you're not, and try to say, oh, hey, everything's good. It's not going to do us any good if there's husbands in this room that are not being good wives, or good husbands to their wives. It would definitely not do us any good for that. Mark that, we'll edit that out. So, first point, to be encouraging to others. Don't forget to be encouraging to others. It's important. Certainly those, listen, God is just speaking to my heart. Don't take people for granted. Don't take your spouse for granted, your kids for granted, your coworkers for granted, your friends for granted. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know how happy you are that they're in your life. You have to do that. We need that in life. If you do it for me, I'll do it for you. Deal? In fact, if you don't do it for me, I'm still going to do it for you. Look at verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And when we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. My second point, don't forget to be in tune to God's word. Don't forget to be in tune with God's word. He's talking here all about the Scriptures. He's going to remind them of the Scriptures. He's going to make sure he leaves them a reminder after he's gone about the Scriptures. And now he's saying, here's the focus, that you need to be in tune with the Scriptures, that the Scriptures are speaking to you. He says, listen, we're not just making this stuff up. We're not, what's the word? Embellishing the story just to make it sound good. These disciples saw Jesus Christ. Peter, James, John saw Jesus Christ in his glorified state on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17. Eyewitness saw that. I don't know about you, but I would love to be there as a side note. They saw that with their eyes. They saw Jesus Christ glorified. Moses, Elijah. Whoa. Hello. And he's saying, we didn't make it up. We didn't say, well, he glowed a little bit green. No. We didn't embellish. This is what happened. We couldn't believe it if we hadn't seen it with our own eyes. And we have people, why does the brain do that? Prophets. There we go. We have prophets. I was like, prophecy? No. We have prophets that were being led by God, by the Holy Spirit, to write these truths down. They didn't embellish on their own. They didn't go, oh, boy, that's good, God, but I'm going to add a little bit because it'll make it a little better. He's saying, no, we did not have to use trickery. We used real word as we were led by the Spirit. Being in tune to God's word and being in that place where they saw it and they heard the voice. Not only did they see, they heard the voice. And this is why I want to focus. We got to hear the word of God. Be in tune to the word of God. If you're here today and you're one of those Christians that says, well, I never hear God's voice. This is God's voice. This is God's voice. And when you pray, that's God's voice. Sounds a lot like you, doesn't it? It's God's voice when you pray, when you hear something come back. It's God speaking to you. You must be in tune to the word of God if you want your life to line up to the word of God. If you want to live the biblical truth, you got to know the biblical truth. So be in tune to it. They heard the voice. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you move only when the Lord moves you? This is so critical to me in the body of Christ today, that we don't move unless God tells us to move. Instead of us moving and then saying, God, was it okay that I moved? God, was it okay that I did this? It seemed like a good thing, right? How many ministries have started up in man's mind instead of God's heart? Only to what? Only to struggle. To be moved by God telling you, God's told me this, and I don't care about any person on the face of the planet that doesn't believe you. It doesn't matter if they don't believe you. If you believe God spoke it to you, then you move forward. I remember early in my ministry, there was a gentleman in our church, served in the ministry. Again, we were small. He came to me, he said, well, I've been praying for a while, 6 months I've been praying. I feel like God is moving us on. I'm like, oh, okay. Man, hate to see you go. Praise God. I mean, I hope best for you. I heard weeks later, he talked to another guy. He goes, yeah, he never even tried to ask me to stay. I'm like, how would I? I'm sure if I did, that why would he go against God? It's like, I'm not going to go against God. So what that spoke to me is this guy wanted to leave, and he attached the Lord to it, and then was upset because I didn't beg him to stay. Do me a favor. Be moved by God's word and be assured of that and speak it only when God tells you to do it, because he's the one that he's calling the shots. I don't call the shots. If you come up to me and say, well, the Lord's telling me to, you know, it's like when Noah, because, hey, well, honey, God wants me to build a big boat. It's going to be a lot of rain. What's rain? I don't know. But we're building a big boat. You're nuts. You better know what you heard, man. You got to know that, right? Can you imagine waiting that many years for God to fulfill his will? God, please make it rain. Can you imagine? Sometimes we get in that place in our hearts. I know God's told me this, but I don't know how he's going to do it. And nobody's going to believe me. Doesn't matter if they believe you. Let them believe you later. Let them believe you later. Let's go to Matthew 14 real quick. Matthew 14, verse 28. You guys know this story, and again, it's Peter, and it's Peter before he has the Holy Spirit, I mean completely, and it's Peter who's in 2 Peter saying, listen, guys, you have the word, and the word directs you. Look what it says right here in Matthew 14, verse 28. It says, then Jesus answered and said, wrong chapter. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. The reason I bring you guys know this story. The reason I bring you here is Peter, looking out on the water, sees Jesus walking on the water. And Peter goes, Lord, if it's you, command me to do what you're doing. Nobody ever walked on water before. Peter didn't practice this. Peter believed in his heart that if the Lord Jesus tells him to do it, he can do it. And so he says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water, and I will. And the Lord says, come. And he steps out and walks on the water. Now, we understand he sinks. We do that, don't we? We sink. But notice the faith of Peter here. Notice the faith of Peter to say, Lord, command me to come. What do you know Jesus has done that you want to do? Because it's important that Peter witnessed Jesus walking on the water. He's like, well, if he can walk on the water, then he can command me to walk on water. Did Jesus heal the blind? Did Jesus raise the dead? I wonder if we would, as Christians, have the faith to go, Lord, command me to pray over someone to restore their health, to restore their heart. Lord, command me to raise somebody from the dead. And that might just be a dream. I believe if we would look into the Word of God and see what Jesus did, because Jesus said, if you're going to do these things and more, and mightier than me, that when he's talking about his miracles, you're going to do them even more. We need to be doing more miracles. We just need to ask, Lord, command me to do something for you. and then have the faith and the confidence to do it. You hear what I'm saying? Believe, guys. Peter believed. He'd never done it. Nobody else in the boat asked, but Peter did. What do we see in the Word of God? We need to ask, Lord, I want to do this for you and for your glory. Peter didn't want it for his glory. I don't think Peter actually went out on the water to go, hey, guys, I'm walking on water. None of you asked. I think Peter says, I love the Lord so much, I want to do what he's doing. Don't you think that's an important part of Christianity? To do what the Lord does? He says, follow me. Follow me. Come. Come. We need to be doing more of those things for God. Commanding him to ask us to come, and he will call us to come. Third and finally, don't forget to be encouraging to others, number one. Don't forget to be in tune with God's word, number two, and to me, the most important one. It's in verse 21. Don't forget to be moved by the Holy Spirit. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I think we need more holy men and women in the church that are moved by the Holy Spirit. We can do a lot of things, guys. We can be busy with golf tournaments and fall family fun days and Mexico missions trips and worship services. But if we're not moved by the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? At our last missions meeting, I felt God spoke it to me before the meeting. Make sure those that are going on the trip are called to go on the trip. There's nothing wrong with going to Mexico and building a house and helping someone out. That's great. But you know how much greater it is if you're moved by the Spirit to do it? And I'm confident that there's probably people on the trip that just want to go because it's going to be a good time. And that's great. But I believe there's also other people in this room that are called to be on that trip but won't go because they've already determined they can't afford it. They can't get the time off of work. But the Spirit's saying, I need you to be there. I want to show something to you. I want to use your life. I want to reveal to you how much I want to use you. I want to birth something inside you. I want to birth a gift inside you that you don't even know you have. And I'm not going to do it here on American soil. I'm going to do it on Mexican soil. Being moved by the Holy Spirit. Guys, we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. If we truly believe that the blood that was shed on Calvary cleanses us from all unrighteousness, if we believe our sins are forgiven because we believe in Jesus and that we truly have the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? We have this amazing power. But are we utilizing it? The Church of Jesus Christ, which includes this church, needs more holy men and holy women being led, guided, and surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Do we really believe the word? That's what Peter's saying. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to remind you. Bible says, Jesus said it, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, God will give them to you. What are you going through today? What experiences are you going through right now that you need a fresh pouring of the Holy Spirit in your life? He's available to you. You just ask, and he'll give them to you. Say, Lord, I need your help with X, Y, and Z. Not so that I'm somebody important, but that you get me through and that you get the glory. It's going to give you the Holy Spirit. There's a decision you need to make. Is your mind all cloudy and focusing on the negative and you're just always negative? You're saying, I need the Holy Spirit so I can start thinking positively. So I can start thinking rightly. Men and women moved by the Holy Spirit. Hearing the voice of God. This word, being moved by the Holy Spirit, also means to be carried along with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit led life. That's how Peter lived. being led by the Spirit. The disciples did as the Spirit led them. Paul, great example. Holy Spirit hindered him from here. Holy Spirit hindered him from here, but then he opened a door over here. It's being led by the Spirit. Do you want that in your life? Is that just something you think that's unattainable? That just seems like it's for other Christians. Guys, he poured... In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, declares the Lord. He'll pour out his Spirit. I believe we're in the last of the last days. And I believe the pouring of the Holy Spirit's coming. For a church that is asking for that Holy Spirit, in order to endure the times that are coming to this church, the church, these days, we are going to need the Holy Spirit if we're going to be able to endure these times and be found faithful. My friends, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget the Scriptures. Don't forget that the Holy Spirit is available to you. But do this also. Don't forget that there's other people around you that need to be reminded. Once you know it, once you have it, start sharing it with others. That's what Peter did. Peter's like, I have it. I want to make sure you have it. Leave a legacy so that people will remember us when we're gone and remember the God that we serve when we're gone. We're remembering Peter. But when we remember Peter, we remember Jesus. It's all about him. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, we pray. We pray for our minds, God, that we would not forget. We know that there are things inside our minds that we have forgotten. We know that there's experiences in our past that you've carried us through and we haven't thought about in a while. And we're looking at the situations and the circumstances that we're in now and we're discouraged. We pray, God, that we have faith today. Faith to believe that you will sustain us and carry us through every step of the way. It's your word that sustains us. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I pray that verse over this church this morning, that it would be your word that lights the path before them, that each and every step that they take would be anointed by the Spirit, that we would do great and awesome things for God, and that we would stand out of the way and let you have the glory. God, take us to the ends of the earth to spread the good news. Reach into the hard hearts of people who deny you, reject you, and turn them, Lord, to you. We pray that we would be those Christians that are not laughed at, mocked at, but that we're admired. For they see the God of the universe living through us. Not moving in our own strength, but just the strength of the Spirit. And God, I would pray that this morning that in this room, each and every person would be filled right now with the Holy Spirit. For some in this room, they've had the Spirit. They've experienced the Spirit, but they need a fresh anointing and they need a fresh filling. So fill them, Lord. For others, they've never experienced the filling of the Spirit. They don't understand what it is. I pray that you would reveal to them that it's just the power of God at work in their lives. That they'll do things that they didn't even know they could do. They could say things that they didn't even know that they could say. That they would feel your presence in a greater way. God, we love you so very much. Jesus, we thank you for willingly going to the cross on our behalf, dying in our place, so that we have an amazing inheritance of heaven. Thank you for reminding us this morning that we are eternally saved through you. Bless our day, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.